local radio station. We are ESPN Blacksburg, and a good Thursday afternoon to all of you. My name is Paul Van Wagner. Nathan Brennan working the phones right now for us, getting our guest for this segment on. Andrew Alex has found his way to the couch, so it's a normal Thursday. Let's do this.
I can keep my hands to myself. No matter how hard I'm trying to.
Scott Nason.
I want
Scott
all to myself.
Scott Nason.
Scott.
Scott Nason.
To Indiana.
Scott Nason.
Absolutely.
Scott Nason joining us today. How are you, sir?
Doing wonderful, my friend. Nice to have you guys back in the studio after being from the home front the last week or so, and always a pleasure to be on your show.
Always good to have you on the show, Scott. I got an opportunity today to send you some show prep. Did you go through it? Did you like it?
I did. Right. You know, something we mentioned a few times over the past couple months as far as Manchester City and some trouble were into. Well, they're still in trouble, but certainly not as much trouble come Monday because they definitely had a panel judge in their favor, you could say.
So let's go, take us back in time, because I know we have talked about this. Manchester City did something, and UEFA launched an investigation and decided that they were going to keep them out of the Champions League. What happened? Like, how did we get to the point where Manchester City was banned from Champions League play?
Well, you have to kind of go way back a few years ago, actually about 12 years ago to be exact. They had a new owner bought a team who happens to be the brother of the leader of the United Arab Emirates, which is very deep pocket.
Sure.
So Manchester City, around 12 years ago, they weren't the Manchester City that soccer fans are used to now. I mean, they were, for a time, they weren't even in the Premier League. And so they have put a lot of money into the club. Now, UEFA, which is the European governing body of soccer, much like FIFA is the world governing of soccer, mm-hmm. both organizations, you could say, have had some issues as far as fair rulings and fair play. Well, Manchester City, in a nutshell, between 2012 and 2016, they were allegedly breaking the financial fair play rules. And basically what that is overstating their sponsorship revenue and some of the other financial books. In other words, they were cooking the books a bit as far as revenue they claimed were putting in, and FIFA did not like that, and really they didn't know about it until a couple of years ago. UEFA launched an investigation back in 2018. A German newspaper leaked some of the documents in November of that year, talking about inflating sponsorship deals and revenue and misleading UEFA. Well, at that time they were fined $30 million, or euros, I should say, for violations of the regulations, as well as a ban on Champions League. Now, Manchester City isn't alone in these sort of things. As a matter of fact, there's several teams over the past few years that have had punishment because of some of these same issues. Chelsea, for example, in 2019, they were given a suspension for breaches of rules regarding dealings with overseas players that were under 18, along with Atletico Madrid, AC Milan, Paris Saint-Germain, and others. And so basically this was reviewed by a three-member panel, and they basically claimed that there wasn't enough evidence to support this ban, which was pretty heavy as far as not just the financial, but losing the revenue in Champions League, which estimated to be about $200 million, and the fact that there's a statute of limitations with some of these issues and where we are now. So Manchester City definitely got a good deal, in my opinion. And, you know, looking at what some of the other clubs have done, I know a few of the Premier League managers aren't very happy. Ironically, there are a couple managers that are chasing Manchester City for Champions League positions. But all in all, I think with the evidence, there just wasn't enough supporting evidence to lay claim for this this punishment, so I think the panel got it right, in my opinion.
So Manchester City presumably is one of the top four teams in the Premier League right now. I'm actually going to look at the table to make sure that that I'm correct in this. And by the way, I'm proud of myself, Scott, because I knew table. Yes, they are second behind runaway champions Liverpool. So will they be allowed to play in next season's Champions League? Because the winners or the top four from this year play in next year's Champions League, correct?
Correct. They're currently still playing in this year's Champions League, which will resume next month. Mm-hmm. They're in the round of 16 against Real Madrid. They did defeat them 2-1 in the first leg, so they'll play the second leg of that tie coming up here in August. But yes, they are in already. They've clinched a Champions League spot because of this ruling. But where it gets interesting is now, instead of finishing in the top five, which up until this past Monday would get you in the Champions League, now it's finishing in the top four. So you have three squads going for two spots. Chelsea, who has 63 points. Leicester City, who won today, has 62. And currently Man U is up 1-0 on Crystal Palace. They will have 62. So you have three teams separated by a point with two matches to go each. It's going to make for a very interesting final day here in about a week or so.
Now, and I would assume that Man U being kind of that fifth team, the odd team out, and Man City being their derby opponent, that there is some definite disdain for this by the Man U fan base.
Yes, definitely indeed. And, you know, you look at if all the teams won out, Chelsea would get in along with Leicester City because they have a better goal differential than Manchester United. But Manchester United is the hottest team right now of both squad. And Chelsea has to play Liverpool coming up next. Now, again, will Liverpool have anything to play for? Absolutely not. But, again, it's a rivalry game, so I wouldn't expect Liverpool just to lay down because they've won the title. But, yeah, this certainly shakes up not just the Champions League, but the Premier League, because one of those teams that I just mentioned will be playing in the Europa League instead of the Champions League, which basically is like playing in the NCAA men's basketball tournament.
Right.
The other team plays in the NIT. So that's where that sits.
Okay. So when you look at this, kind of how this all shakes out, you said earlier that you thought that there wasn't enough to kind of convict Manchester City. What was it early on that led to the ban, and what was it that where was the differential there between the ban early on and today, or the other day, I guess it was, when Man City was acquitted of this?
I think they had a lot more time to look at it. I think that at the time when those documents and emails, internal emails, were released, there was a lot more question as far as that. But, you know, one of the big things was the main sponsor of Manchester City is Etihad Airways, of course, out of the United Arab Emirates, mm-hmm. as you know, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And they claimed at that point they paid only a fraction of the $85 million sponsorship agreement. And Manchester City had denounced the publication of those documents, saying they were out of context, they were purposely hacked or stolen, it was an organized and clear attempt to damage the club's reputation. Now, whether or not that's true, the three-member panel of UEFA claimed that it was. And any time there's a major ruling in soccer, anytime there's a major announcement of a World Cup site, anytime there's anything, there's always a bit of, conspiracy theories that, you know, was set up, or, you know, look at, you know, the next World Cup in Qatar. I mean, there's a prime example right
mm-hmm,
there
mm-hmm.
as far as things. And so, it's the only body that I can think of that's more controversial or corrupt than maybe some of our bodies to your neighbor to the northeast, known as Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
D.C.'s got nothing on FIFA and UEFA, as far as I'm concerned.
I'm sure that the team formerly known as the Redskins fan base will take that as a good thing. You get, because you were in the Navy, I'm sure you had to spend a little bit of time in D.C. Did you get in on any of that action that Dan Snyder was peddling?
Nope. Thankfully for me, at the time I was in, the vice president at the time, Al Gore, moved the personnel base from D.C. to Millington, Tennessee, that hotbed of the Navy. So I avoided all the D.C. stuff. Mm. I'm not going to tell you what happened on Beale Street, but I know – that nothing included Daniel Schneider. He's got his own problems right now.
Fair enough. Fair enough. You guys are still doing shows. I saw that you had another podcast. When's your next one coming out? You just released a new one, I think, yesterday, right?
Yeah, we had a new one this week with our good friend Dave McKegg interviewing every enforcer that ever played in the NHL this summer, it appears. We took a week off of the game due to my birthday, and so we'll be back next Monday, which will be the 20th, at thegamesportshow.com.
Oh, birthday is a doodly-doo, a ding-dong, doodly-doodly, ding-dong-doo. A birthday, birthday, how do you do? Open presents, cake is too. A good thing to have on a birthday day is ice cream and presents coming your way, cause presents are good to open up. Hope there's something good inside for me. It's a birthday time of year for you. A happy birthday, doodly-doo. A birthday is a good, good time. Eat up the chocolate cake all night. Lollipops, sweet tooth, got long face. Put on the birthday time of year. Ice cream's cold if you eat it fast. A birthday, doodly, birthday, you. Birthday, birthday, birthday.
Scott Nason joining us today. He did celebrate his birthday on Monday. We did actually try to get him on so we could play that on his birthday, but he and the future Mrs. Nason decided to instead go hang out at the beach in northern Michigan, which isn't nearly what people around here think of when they think of the beach.
No, not at all. Now, question, Paul, is that who's ever sung that, is that either the ESPN Latchburg Glee Club, Barney, or the Chuck E. Cheese Band? Which one is it?
That's actually Andrew Nathan and Brian Reed. They got together and they recorded that themselves. It was actually a neat little song that they did together.
That wasn't bad. I appreciate it, guys. No. Thanks for the thought out song and late birthday wishes.
Absolutely. So now that you have turned 28, what are your big plans for the rest of your life?
Well, the wedding, albeit a very much scaled-back wedding, is on due to, obviously, everyone knows the virus. We have cut back and doing a very small ceremony, so looking forward to that. A little honeymoon around the Upper Peninsula, and, well, you know, Paul, there could be more Nason kids in the future. We'll just have to wait and see.
Oh, for the love of God, I need to draw you a picture of how that happens. Now, is there any chance, since I'm not going to be able to make it to the wedding now, is there any chance that we can do, that I can zoom in and do my toast?
Well, you know, due to internet restrictions, or I should say the lack of coverage, we'll be in a non-internet area, therefore no toast, therefore no Zoom.
All right. Well, good news is Becky is a friend of mine on Instagram. I'll just do the toast personally for her. So there, that ought to work.
Yeah, that'll work. All right. Thanks, Paul.
Scott Nason, how do our listeners get more great sports content from you and the rest of your team?
Go to the website, thegamesportsshow.com, where you can find all our shows and free of charge. Download them. Check them out.
It's good stuff. You will enjoy it. If you are a fan of hockey, I do encourage you to check it out because it is neat. Dave is going through and talking to the enforcers, the guys that fought for a living, and it is a very, very cool story how those guys kind of get to that position, because most of them, that's not how they came up. Most of them were considered skilled hockey players, and at one point they just figured out that it's going to be a hell of a lot easier for me to make money if I go out there and beat people up.
Drop the gloves and lose some teeth. Everybody's happy.
That's right. Scott Nason has done it in several instances, especially in a couple of bars in Liverpool. Scott, you take care of yourself, my man. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy the weekend.
Thank you. You guys as well. We'll talk to you next week.
Scott Nason from the Game Sports Show. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. They did mention that Zion is out of the bubble. We'll talk a little bit about that and what that means for the Pelicans next on The Drive.
We live for the sports you love. ESPN Blacksburg, 93.1, 97.1, and live on the web at ESPNBlacksburg.com.